new business idea. It's an app that you can install on your own phone, an anti-snooping app, so that if you have a toxic, jealous partner who breaks into your phone and reads your texts, it creates a fake iMessage app that's just full of texts about clam semen and coral semen and how do invertebrates reproduce? Shut up.
Welcome to Text Me Back, an independent podcast about two media moguls who know how to YouTube because their brains work real good. I'm Megan Hatcher-Mays.
And I'm Lindy West. You can subscribe to the show at patreon.com/textmebackpod. I've introduced a new feature, which is that I posted a bunch of our actual texts because, believe it or not, we do actually text each other. This show title is not just a gimmick. It's true life. It happened to me, colon, I texted my best friend. And now you can be a part of it. It's just like you're our jealous boyfriend and you broke into our phones and you read our texts. And you know what we were talking about? Clam jizz. So,
oh, I know I was a part of it, but now I'm so unsettled by our own text messages.
That's your punishment for snooping.
It's a good one.
On today's show, we're introducing a brand new segment called Segment Pubes. And you're not going to believe the pube news that we've brought.
You're not going to believe the pube news that we've brought. But first, we're going to share some delights that we've been receiving from the Text Me Backalites via the Best Friend Party Phone and other mediums. The main thing is, people have been sending us songs. I feel like this show, if nothing else, is full of auditory delights.
You know what this podcast is? This podcast is like if Judy Garland had a podcast.
That's what they're saying.
So, yeah, people keep sending us songs and they're incredible. I love that people have picked up on the vibe of the show that this is a musical review. It's a folly. It's vaudevillian. And they've been participating. So the first song that's been submitted is very special to me because it was submitted by a precious friend of mine named Robert, who also happens to be a TikTok celeb. I think what you need on TikTok is a niche. I think that's our problem is that we're generalists.
Mm-hmm. Robert really did find, he found like the craziest niche ever, which is like, well, so like Robert has a PhD in Lutheranism or something.
I believe that Robert has a Ivy League PhD in choral conducting, and Robert is an early music enthusiast and expert and performer. We were in the Glee Club together. Robert has perfect pitch. Robert came onto the scene as a freshman and absolutely was a blockbuster Glee Club star. And then married my other friend from college, Andrew, who I had been inseparable with, also a Glee Club member. Andrew and I were always palling around. And then Andrew and Robert got married and they're geniuses and I love them. So Robert starts posting TikToks that are sort of like early music jokes or modern pop culture informed choral music nerd in jokes. I'm not going to do a good job coming up with an example, but it's like, what if Lady Gaga played the harpsichord? That's a bad example because it's so much more high level than that. And Megan, you also know Robert and Andrew.
Yeah, I met Andrew first. I visited you at school in Los Angeles. And then like a year later, you and I went to Europe. That was actually the first time I went to Norway with your family for your one of your family reunions in 2002. And Andrew met us in Edinburgh. And he's like, meet me at the soot-encrusted Gothic spaceship in the middle of town. And we were like, what does that mean? Because, you know, like back then we didn't have cell phones or anything. So you just had to like plan a date and time in advance to meet somebody at the landmark and hope that they would be there. And we were like, what the hell is a soot-encrusted Gothic spaceship? And then we just like walked around the town and we found it. There's no other way you could describe what this monument was. And there is Andrew just standing in Edinburgh. He gave me a copy of ABBA Oro, which is all of ABBA's songs in Spanish, like all their hits in Spanish. And then we went to the Edinburgh TGI Fridays.
And then also on that trip to Edinburgh, one of the times that you've made me laugh the hardest is because you went to try to buy bobby pins. You came back to the hostel absolutely a mess. You had had a harrowing time trying to get bobby pins.
I had been laid flat by this woman in the pharmacy where I was trying to buy bobby pins. It's a pharmacy called Boots. So I go in and I'm like, do you guys have bobby pins? And she's like, what? And finally she was like, oh, you mean Kirby grips? And I was like, what? There was this whole moment of this. We're both speaking English theoretically, and we're both like bobby pin, Kirby grip, and like it was so crazy. And then I finally figured out what they were. I was like, okay, thanks. And so I pick them out. I go to the front to buy the Kirby grips, and the lady goes, "Do you have a Boots card?" And I was like, "What?" And she's like, "Do you have a Boots card?" And I was like, "I'm so sorry, I don't know what you're saying." And she goes, "Do you have a Boots card?" And I was like, like I was trying so hard not to explode with laughter and also start crying because I was so stressed out. And I was like, I just need to get my hair out of my face. I'm so sweaty. Kirby grips, Boots card. And so I got back to the hostel and I was like, something weird is happening in this country.
I still, to this day, I think about Kirby grips and I laugh.
Kirby grips.
So, sequence of events. Lindy goes to college. Megan and Lindy go to Edinburgh. Megan gets absolutely roasted by the Boots woman. Robert comes to college, takes over the Glee Club. Andrew and Robert get married. Robert makes a TikTok, gets famous, and then puts out a video just for us. And here it is.
As you know, because you are the host of the show, there is a segment of the podcast called Tidings, and I have the perfect theme song for it if you're interested. It's a chorus from Messiah by Handel, but it's likely, even if you've sung or listened to Messiah, that you've never heard it, because it's like a B-side. It's not used in most performances. It's in the appendix. It's called Break Forth Into Joy, but the text Glad Tidings repeats a bunch, and it sounds like this. Just throwing it out there.
First of all, that's the biggest press we've ever gotten or ever will get.
Just an absolutely massive grassroots moment for the podcast.
It's like Beyonce is wearing a t-shirt that says big and hairy.
One day we'll get Beyonce and pig DNA for sure. I never felt more loved in my life than when I received that TikTok from Robert. I was like, I am the host of Text Me Back. Oh, that's me. So it was really sweet. And then, of course, the song is a banger. Duh.
I hope that this is public domain because I would like to play it every single time we have tidings.
Me too. Let's find a Creative Commons version of Glad Tidings, and that will be our new tidings song. No more do you have it?
Oh,
well, that'll be just no. Special occasions, maybe. Why don't we play it again and just do a quick mini tidings? You ready?
Practice tidings. Okay. Practice tidings. Okay. And this has to be like a tidings worthy of the Messiah. You know what I mean? This has to be a holy tidings.
These have to be tidings from heaven. You ready?
Yeah. This week, Megan, it's a recurring segment, mini segment within tidings that I like to call, did Lindy wash these guys this week? Once again, meaning my bangs. This week?
And?
The answer is no. If you're watching this on video, you might see these separate into individual spaghetti noodles of grease.
And that's what God would have wanted.
That's my holy tidings this week.
My holy tidings, this is actually like one of your tidings, but just really quick. When I was in town, we started a puzzle about ancient civilizations. We put in so much time and effort. I got back pain from trying to make this puzzle happen. We did not finish it before I left, but I'm pleased to announce Lindy and Roya did finish it. But here's the bad news, gang. It's missing 5 pieces. 5.
You know what?
5.
That is actually a tiding of divine providence because that has taught me a powerful lesson about life. You can't always strive for perfection. Sometimes you have to find satisfaction in the flawed and the incomplete.
You must turn your heart and soul over to the divine. You know what they say? God hands his toughest challenges to his strongest warriors.
You know what they say? God feeds his most important puzzle pieces to his hungriest golden retrievers.
They do say that. I think it is written in Luke 3:17. May the young barreled consume the pieces of the Lord. Amen.
If you're Robert, can you confirm the scripture? We should have Robert be our ecclesiastical correspondent.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be nice. And we know what I would like is a definitive ranking of all of the Christian denominations. Who's at the top? Who's at the bottom? You know what I mean?
That is such a good question. And I want to pull back the curtain for a second and say that the only reason we didn't invite Robert to be on the podcast this episode is because we're so tired from figuring out how to edit three people's audio and video from last week.
It was so hard. I got what I'm calling editor's hunch. I'm being hunched over looking at Premiere Pro. I texted our former video editor, or she still makes videos for us, but our video editor, Diana, who can't do this full time, as it turns out, she has a real job. And I was like, what are you doing about elbow bruise because you're leaning too hard? And she's like, I literally bought elbow pillows. And then she sent me a link to elbow pillows. And I was like, please let this podcast be a success. I'm out here buying elbow pillows.
Meanwhile, I'm editing the audio. I don't know how to use the software. I'm relying fully on intuition, which gets me pretty far because they make intuitive editing software for dunces, but I'm just guessing. And then sometimes I will click something and everything is destroyed.
Yeah.
Or like I kept exporting it and then it would only be Raffle's face like like this. And I'd be like, well, I hope Megan can fix that.
So basically, I think what we're getting at here is, could you please keep sending us songs? We're so tired and so stressed.
And subscribe to the Patreon so that we can hire professionals.
We do actually have one more song to discuss. When we left KOW, we sort of jokingly were like, great, now we can say pubes as much as we want. Well, were we joking when we said that? I don't think so. So then we were like, yeah, we should call this segment pubes. I'm very, very, very pleased to announce that A Text Me Backlight was inspired by the concept of segment pubes. His name is Steven from Bellevue, and he wrote this incredible song.
He was touched by the pube muse.
Mm-hmm. The pube muse lowered herself down from heaven and said, Steven, you must compose this. Now check this out.
Segment pubes.
Steven, Nobel Prize for you in science, music, yep, books, all of them. He's sweeping the Nobels because of segment pubes.
Song of the year.
Another Grammy for Text Me Back podcast.
Hip hop Grammy, pop Grammy, rock Grammy, gospel Grammy, classical Grammy. Sorry, Robert.
Latin Grammy. Sorry, Gloria Estefan. Here comes Steven with segment pubes. Well, listen, Steven, you were inspired by us, and now we've been inspired by you. And we are launching a new segment, as Lindy mentioned, called Segment Pubes.
Segment Pubes.
Where we bring you all the hot pubes news. But now listen to this. You might be thinking, wow, that's vulgar. That's disgusting. You can't do a whole segment over and over again about pubes. Well, get your mind out of the gutter, Text Me Backlights, because pubes, as we all know, stands for people using bad ethics and systems. This is an accountability segment.
We're cleaning up the streets. We've got our push brooms out. We're sweeping up those pubes. People using bad ethics and systems.
Pervert, clean up your little brains. So with that, Lindy, shall we do our inaugural segment pubes?
Segment pubes.
What do you got?
So my pube comes to us.
Yes, your person using bad ethics and systems.
Mm-hmm. My pube comes to us from sunny Mexico, where a local television network was covering the story of the century, according to everyone but me, which was the eclipse. I can't get that excited. Side note, I don't get that excited about the eclipse. I don't totally get it. I know that's sort of off brand for me because I am into things like celestial beings. Maybe I'm just jealous because I'm never in the path and it's always cloudy and I don't understand the thing with the colander and the holes and the glasses and the shadows. I don't get it. I feel like an outsider. So I'm resentful. Anyway, this Mexican news station was covering the eclipse last week, and they were playing audience-submitted videos, because that's how we make art now. We just ask you to do it for us and send it to us, and then we just play it. That's like this whole episode.
Yeah.
So they were sort of taking a text-me-back approach. They were really inspired. They were taking inspirado from us. They were...
Inspiración. De nosotros?
Sí. They were comiendo inspiración de nosotros.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing some submitted videos. And then, I'm quoting the Daily Mail here, the production staff showed a video of a man's testicles moving across the screen to block a light. And then the anchor said, they would be the municipalities where it could be appreciated the most. So I believe what has happened here is that the production team for the widely broadcast television show did not vet the video, or maybe did not look closely at the video, and they just put it up there.
Maybe he thinks that the sun looks like a lamp from Target and the moon looks like a pair of men's balls. So he did vet it. He just was like, that's right.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe the intern who vets the videos just has never seen the sun or the moon before. My first favorite thing about this story is that people were watching the news to find out about the eclipse, and then they saw, you know, Ernesto's ball sack. I'm just naming him Ernesto. One thing I love so much about this is this exact thing happened on Arrested Development.
Those are the pictures?
They're all over the news.
Those are balls.
Barry was right.
Yeah.
Tobias had inadvertently photographed himself while learning to use his camera phone.
See, this close, they always look like landscape.
You're looking at balls.
They're balls?
And eventually, the news traveled back to the source.
We got one wrong, and we do apologize.
I'm on TV.
My third favorite thing is that the man I'm calling Ernesto has claimed credit for his prank, and he said... Good afternoon, RCG Media, which is the television station. I appreciate that you took my video about the eclipse, but I would love to have been credited.
It's disrespectful not to credit somebody for their art.
And then he also said, and this is obviously like an AI translation, which I also love. He said, greetings to all my people from Saltillo who had to watch my eggs on television because those at RCG Media forgot to review the video of the eclipse carefully. I love you.
I love you too. That was a good prank.
For our inaugural segment, Pubes, it combines people using bad ethics and systems. I mean, I don't want to say bad ethics. It's not bad ethics to do a prank where you pretend that your balls are the moon and they are blocking out the sun and then you send it to be on the news. But it is a bad system if you're the news and you don't have a good system for making sure that you don't put balls on the news.
It's like at first glance, it seems like, oh, maybe Ernesto's the one who is pubes.
Mm-mm.
But no, it's the news channel. The news channel is the pube.
The news channel is the pubes. But it's not only pubes, the acronym. It's also literally segment pubes. It's literal pube news. In fact, someone tweeted, why were so many hairs visible in the sun?
Ernesto, your response?
Muy bien.
Segment pubes.
All right, you want to hear mine?
More than anything.
This is my pubes. I'd like to talk about somebody who's a famous person, a celebrity, someone in a position of trust who is perpetrating a fraud. Her name is Gisele Bündchen. She's a Brazilian supermodel. And I was checking out the bloids, the tabloids, the other day as I do. I like to know what's going on with the celebs. I like to see what they're getting up to. I want to know, are they at it again? Are they not at it again?
They always are.
They're always at it again and again and again. And Us Weekly gives me this headline. Gisele Bündchen's airport outfit includes a hoodie that instantly makes you look quietly richer. Wow. And you know, this hoodie is only $19. She's pissed too.
Yeah.
Can you stop? I'm trying to do segment pubes. You know, this hoodie is only $19. And she has the audacity to say, if you put it on, you're going to instantly look quietly richer. She's walking around in a $19 hoodie. And you're telling me that that's going to make me look quietly richer? And why do I have to be quiet about it?
Could you be quiet about it, Marge?
And she just wants me to just buy into this, buy this $19 hoodie, and then walk around the airport looking quietly richer as a part of my outfit? Gisele Bündchen, I'm sorry to say you are a person using bad ethics and systems. Stop lying about the luxury and the richness of your $19 hoodie and get out of the airport right now.
You got her. I mean, here's the thing. If you're actually rich, don't act like the secret is your hoodie. You look rich because, like, you pay a woman to live in your house and, like, rub your face every morning.
She steams your pores from head to toe. She exfoliates your entire body. She cleanses you with fresh cucumber. And you're going to sit there and act like it's the $19 hoodie that's making you look richer, but quietly.
Of all the facets of my relationship with the concept of richness, appearing rich is low on my list. It's possibly at the bottom. I don't have any need to appear rich artificially.
I love the idea of, like, you or I walking through the airport and everyone being like, oh, I think they're rich. Did you see the hoodie? And that is why Gisele Bündchen
Segment Pukes.
Watch yourself, sister. I hope you enjoyed our inaugural Segment Pubes. Steven, thank you for the song. I haven't stopped listening to it since you sent it. And here it is again.
Segment Pubes.
If you subscribe to our Patreon at the $30,000 a month level, you, me, Megan, Steven, Robert, and Andrew are all meeting at the soot-encrusted Gothic spaceship at the center of Edinburgh, and we're going to TGI Fridays.
See you there, besties.
One of the most fun stuffs about being independent podcast is that we run our own phone line now, and you all have been filling up the tank with goodies for us.
I have notifications turned on for our email account, and I get the voicemails and the text messages that way. And I'm like, just like all day, I'm like, ooh, buzz, buzz, buzz. It's so fun. But they're all really good. And sometimes I respond to the text messages. So if you want to text or call us, you might get a response from your beloved Text Me Back co-host, Megan Hatcher-Mays. The number is 703-829-0003. The number again is pod tax. Oof. The O's are zeros.
Three O's at the end. Oof. So today we're going to do our first segment of your voicemails, and we're going to hear what you all have to say and what you think we needed to know ASAP.
The first one, Lindy, is from a Text Me Backalite in St. Louis. I lived there for three whole beautiful years, so it was very thrilling to get this message, and this is quite the tale. This one is a real roller coaster, and it includes all the stuff that you love. Animals, bones, dogs. So without any further buildup, here we go.
Hi, Lindy and Megan. I'm calling the new party phone with some tidings of horror. I've been walking around with this story for 3 days, and I wasn't sure who to share it with. And then I was listening to today's new independent episode, and I thought that maybe you guys would like to hear these tidings. Here goes. I was walking my dog the other day in the park near my house, just a city park, and we got to a spot where my dog started to bury his head in the grass as if he had found something wonderful. I figured it would be chicken wings because for some reason there are a lot of chicken wings discarded in my park. So I got ready to have to pull a bone out of his mouth, which is not my favorite thing, but does happen a lot. And when I reached into his mouth, what was in there was very sharp and pointy. And I pulled it out, and as I did so, it poked me pretty hard on my thumb, and I dropped it, and I looked down, and it was a rotten animal skull of some kind, and the poking on my thumb were from its teeth. I think it was probably like a squirrel, it's like squirrel-sized. It was like black with rot, and the teeth were just smiling up at me, and I had to walk home. We were 3 blocks or so from home at that point. I had to walk home thinking about how I had not only touched it, but it had probably punctured my skin. So far, I have not transformed into any kind of like squirrel zombie creature, but I don't know. I think I have to wait till the next full moon to find out if anything serious is going to happen to me. So now you know that story, and I'm sorry, and you're welcome. Love you guys. Bye.
I love you too.
So good.
To go through the trauma and then not even get to transform into a squirrel zombie, that's the real ripoff.
It really is. What's not to like about that story? I can confirm as a former St. Louis resident that the city, I would say, is 98% chicken bones. The other thing I love about it is, did you get rabies from beyond the grave? From the squirrel skeleton?
Beyond the grabies?
I did text her back. I told her to let us know how things go at the next full moon. So we'll check back in. We'll see how she's doing and we'll provide an update.
I wonder how she did in the eclipse. I feel like that might have a cosmic pull. Not that I believe in it or care about it. I have two things to say. One is that I, too, even in Seattle, have noticed that there is a mysterious plague of chicken wings all over the ground, everywhere, every neighborhood in which I've had a dog. I would say once per walk, the dog finds a chicken wing and I have to pull it out of his mouth. And I've posted about this before on social media. Where are these chicken wings coming from? People have many theories. One is that there are people driving around eating chicken wings in their cars and throwing them out the window. Another theory is that crows are fishing chicken wing bones out of the garbage and eating them on a telephone wire and dropping them. Neither of those are that satisfying to me because it's like, first of all, where are the crows finding these garbage cans that are just only full of chicken wings?
Right. Well, I mean, yes, you find them outside of chicken restaurants, but they're everywhere where there's no Ezel's around there. There's no KFC around there. They're just there. What is the source of the bone?
I posted about this and then a friend of mine named Nicole sends me a link. She made an Instagram documenting all the chicken wings on the ground in her neighborhood, I think in Brooklyn. She's like on the case, like, where are these chicken wings coming from? This is like a national, potentially international phenomenon. And once again, I know they're busy, but 1-800-MULDER-AND-SCULLY, once again.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Who's doing this?
That's my first thought about this incredible voicemail. My second thought is I have a little experience in the other side of this story. The squirrel skull side, specifically the piercing of the flesh by the tooth of the squirrel, because I have been pierced by the tooth of a squirrel, Megan.
You have?
I have. It's before we were friends. No offense.
Offense gravely taken.
I was a little child. I grew up near a park in Seattle called Matthews Beach. And I was at Matthews Beach Park with my friend Lizzie. We were feeding peanuts to the squirrels. I remember vividly, they were peanuts in the shell. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but a peanut in the shell, it looks a lot like the sort of bulb of a human finger.
It does. You know, you tell me something every week and then you always say, I don't know if you've ever thought about it. And the answer is, I've never thought about that. Never, not a once have I ever thought about it. But you're always right, you know?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
A finger pad does look like a bulbous little peanut in a shell.
So I'm feeding peanut to the squirrel, feeding peanut to the squirrel, feeding peanut to the squirrel. The little squirrel is coming up and taking the peanut out of my hand.
Oh.
Then basically the squirrel comes up to get the peanut instead. Sinks his little teeth into the flesh of my first finger pad on my middle finger of my right hand.
Ugh.
I still have a tiny scar.
Oh.
I don't know if you can see.
I don't know if you can see.
I have a tiny scar. I couldn't possibly get away with any crime. Such a distinctive fingerprint. Unlike other fingerprints, which are famously all similar. Yeah, so this squirrel bit me. I remember I immediately started flailing around. The squirrel's hanging on. It's like,
what?
Yeah, I remember I hit Lizzie in the leg with the squirrel. Finally let go.
Oh, my God.
You didn't know. You didn't know any of this was coming, did you?
No, I didn't. This did not come up in the pre-production meeting.
No, I saved it. I kept it back in my little secret box. The squirrel runs away. I run home. I don't remember if I was like crying or if I stayed cool. I was probably crying.
No chance you stayed cool. I'm so sorry. I love you, but no.
Hold on. Tangent. Day before yesterday, I baked 2 pineapple upside down cakes. 1 regular, 1 vegan and gluten-free for Roya. The vegan gluten-free pineapple upside down cake, it rose beyond my wildest expectations. It overflowed the pan. It went all over the bottom of the oven. The oven caught fire. There are flames inside the oven. Smoke is pouring out. Did I scream? Did I even tell anyone else in the house? No, you know what I did?
Wow.
Cool as a cucumber. I opened that oven door. I threw the whole container of salt in there onto the fire.
Nice.
I took a big metal spatula. I went, pat, 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 closed that oven door. And I was like, See ya. Those cakes kept baking. They came out perf. So don't ever say that I would, as an 8-year-old, scream and cry after being bit by a wild animal.
Even then, you were a formidable Norwegian homesteader.
Yes. A future female woodsman. We go home. I'm like, Mommy. And then my mom was like, what? Ew. And then all I remember after that, she took me to the doctor and I had to get a tetanus shot. In my butt.
Why'd they give it to you in your butt?
I don't know. Not in the butthole.
Well, I wasn't saying, nobody said butthole. Couldn't they just give it to you in your arm? Why did your butt have to be involved at all?
What are you alleging? I don't know. It's what the doctor, do you think this was malfeasance? Because they just wanted to.
I just don't see why the butt had to be in it, you know?
It's a common injection site.
Okay. If you're a doctor who's given a patient a tetanus shot, can you text us and let us know if you shoot them in the butt? Phone number is 703-829-0003.
If you're Dr. Sanjay Gupta, do you like my makeup today? I didn't wash these guys, but they still look pretty good.
Speaking of Dr. Sanjay, we heard from a different Text Me Bakelite about her run-in with Dr. Sanjay Gupta. By the way, people loved your story about talking to Sanjay Gupta. We're asking for the link. They wanted to see for themselves the electricity between the two of you. I've been sharing that link left and right. So we got some messages about Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and here is one from a Text Me Bakelite about her run-in with him.
Hey, so I just listened to the most recent podcast about Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and I have the same appreciation for him that you do, Wendy. In early COVID, when he was all over the Seattle Times, all over the television, which we were glued to, it was my 21st birthday, first day of lockdown. We've got Sanjay Gupta on the TV telling us to stay inside, getting his vaccine right there. My mom fell in love with him, decided that he was the only one that would be good enough for me in the world to marry. So my mom decides that I should marry Dr. Sanjay Gupta. He does have a lovely family, beautiful children. Apparently, it doesn't matter to my mother. Now, here we are. We get some good old gym membership, and I'm working out, doing my physical therapy, and there he is in the flesh. Dr. Sanjay Gupta goes to our gym, and every time I see him, and I just have that same feeling of there he is, the most famous person I've ever seen. Yep, rumor's true. He goes to my parents' gym.
I'm sorry, does Dr. Sanjay Gupta live in Seattle?
Yeah, does he? I thought he lived in Atlanta. I looked it up after I got this message. I was like, I don't think does he live in Seattle? And so I looked it up and it says he lives in Atlanta. But if Dr. Frickin' Sanjay Gupta is in Seattle, we have to know. We gotta know.
If he's in Seattle, I'm mortified. I like this little bit that we do with the understanding that he's far away. Yeah.
By the way, I love the euphemism she used, that you two share an appreciation for Dr. Sanjay Gupta. I was like, yes, an appreciation. But it's less creepy if he lives in Atlanta. If he lives in Seattle, now we're just stalking him.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
I love this story so much. It's so funny to me that she's like, but mom, he's married and has children. And his mom's like, I don't care. Get in there. It's a good mom.
This story reminds me of one time I was in New York City, not to brag, and I was meeting my agent, Gary, for lunch.
Not to brag,
Gare Bear. And Gary was like, okay, let's go to this restaurant in Brooklyn. I don't remember what the name of the restaurant was, but he's like, meet me here at this time. This place is really cute, very sort of cliche, like gentrified Brooklyn. He goes, it's the kind of place where you'd expect to see Ethan Hawke. And I said, ha, 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 ha. And then we got there and Ethan Hawke was there. Like, he didn't mean like, oh, I see Ethan Hawke there all the time. He just said it to demonstrate the vibe.
Yeah, as an archetype.
Yes. But then he literally was there.
Did you both scream?
Yes. We screamed right in Ethan Hawke's face and he ran out of there. And then I said, I'm the king of this bistro now.
Ethan Hawke was never heard from again.
Nope. That reminds me of another bit you used to do that always made me laugh so hard. This is not on the agenda, and you don't know what I'm going to say.
I don't. I'm scared.
You used to do this bit that was so funny where you would narrate the plot of the song Yeah by Lil Jon and Usher.
It was like, so there I was. I was in the club. Hang on. I just need that one little piece to get me into it. It's a good song.
An oldie at this point.
Yeah, it did come out when Dr. Sanjay Gupta's future wife was born. Okay. All right. I was up in the club. Okay. Shorty got down low, right? She said, come and get me. And I'm like, I got so caught up. I forgot she told me. Yeah. Yeah. Next thing I knew, she was all up on me, screaming, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, what behavior are you describing? What do you mean she was, the next thing you knew, she was
all up on you?
Screaming?
Yeah?
Why?
Where is security? Usher?
And this was a pleasurable encounter for you?
You liked that? You said, take that and rewind it back? That's what you said to her? After she was all up on you? Screaming?
Screaming. Yeah! Yeah! She was screaming.
Screaming. At the top of her lungs in the VIP. And I loved it. It wasn't crazy. It was fantastic. You haven't lived.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Next time you run into Sanjay at the gym, put him in touch with the gal from the first voicemail who pierced her skin with the rotten tooth of the dead squirrel.
And ask him if he gives tetanus shots in the butt. Thank you. Okay. For our third and final story, this hits the trifecta. We've had the Mount Rushmore of Text Me Back is Dr. Sanjay Gupta, animals, and now this, which is a ghost story from Katie, who called in to tell us about a very spooky haunting that she experienced while living in San Francisco. Now listen to this.
Okay. Hi, Lindy and Megan. First of all, I'm so nervous to leave this because I'm such a fangirl. Take all my money, please. I savor your podcast. I'm really calling also to tell you about a ghost story I've been meaning to tell you since the beginning because I'm an OG listener. So about a decade ago, I was in my late 20s, do the math, and was living in San Francisco. And I lived near Haight-Ashbury. And I lived with like three dumb San Francisco bros because it was like a quick last minute apartment. One day I come home and I was telling him about this crazy ghost story that a coworker told me. About how this person in San Francisco, his brother had crazy ghosts where like he'd get woken up in the middle of the night and see ghosts, like literally see shadows of ghosts or however you define seeing ghosts, throwing silverware, opening the drawers and throwing silverware, which was so crazy. I could not stop talking about it because I was like, that doesn't sound like something you would make up. So I go home, I'm chatting with my bro roommates, I'm telling them this story and they're like, oh yeah, our house is haunted too. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? I'd only lived there for a few months at this point. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, actually, like, the room you used to live in when you first moved in, that's the one that, like, everyone says is haunted. And I'm like, wait a second. When my memory starts churning, and I'm like, so are you telling me that time when I got woken up in a dead sleep because it felt like someone was in bed spooning me, and I woke up, turned over, and no one was there? That was probably a ghost spooning me because I still think about that, and it haunts my dreams. Like, oh, yeah, 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 that room's definitely haunted. There's a whole Wikipedia page about our house and during the Haight-Ashbury days and yada fucking yada. So long story long, my ghost story is I was spooned by a ghost, which just feels quite apropos. Thanks for everything. Bye.
Okay, first of all, very sweet message. So sweet.
I know.
Second of
so
all,
sweet.
Jesus Christ, what was going on in that house?
This is literally the plot of a Reese Witherspoon movie where she lives in an apartment in San Francisco, which is haunted by the ghost of Mark Ruffalo, and he spoons her in the night. And it's called Just Like Heaven? It's called Just Like Heaven, and I remembered, and it's from 2005. Reese Witherspoon's a doctor. Excuse me. Reese Witherspoon's dead.
Reese Witherspoon spoons.
Witherspoon's Mark Ruffalo. She's a ghost. She dies in a car accident. He moves into her apartment. Mm. She's still living there. Well, she's deading there as a ghost. Mm-hmm.
Spirit without fear. Spirit appear. Are you here? Come on, I think you're here. Okay. I've got a hot, moist cup of coffee in my hand. There is no coaster on this table. I'm going to set it down on this lovely mahogany.
Don't you dare.
Ah! We need to talk.
I don't remember if, like, she's one of those ghosts that doesn't know she's a ghost or what. Like, she's brushing her ghost teeth, and then she's like, why is there a guy in here? Anyway, they have ghost sex.
What?
Sorry.
Oh.
Take it up with screenwriter Peter Tolan.
I will. You'll be hearing from my lawyers.
And it was set in San Francisco, so sounds like they based it on your life.
Yeah, Katie. I mean, you don't have to tell us, but if you did more than spoon the ghost.
Megan!
That's crazy.
Megan!
I mean, you don't have to confirm it. I'm just saying, if you did, that's crazy.
You know, when I was single in my 20s, all I wanted was to be spooned. I don't think I even needed any of the, like, responsibilities of a relationship, like taking care of someone else half the time, having to tell someone where I'm going or whatever. But if I could have just had a ghost in there, just a spoon at night, and then become incorporeal, turn into ectoplasm during the day.
Mm-hmm. Katie, if you were scared by this, let us know. But it sounds kind of nice.
Romantic?
Low stakes?
Look, I don't want to get morbid, but, like, let's just think about a few ghosts that exist. Mm-hmm. Paul Walker, Heath Ledger.
River Phoenix. Just to name a few ghosts.
They're out there.
They could be hugging you in the night right now.
It sounds romantic. It sounds cute. It sounds not scary. It sounds cozy. It sounds like the perfect boyfriend, honestly.
I know. You don't have to do anything for him.
You don't talk and you just exist at night to provide emotional support to me.
Great.
I'll take it. What's the address?
Send us the Wikipedia link, KT.
And if 650,000 of you subscribe at the $1,000 a month level on our Patreon, Megan and I can afford the rent on this house in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
That's a joke about money. It's expensive to live.
Thanks again for calling and texting the Best Friend Party Phone. We love to hear from you. If you would like to get in touch with us for the chance to have your beautiful story read or played on this illustrious program, give us a call. Best Friend Party Phone, 703-829-0003.
I think some people are a little confused because we did change our phone system, because we keep getting messages that are like, I want to join. And this is kind of the opposite of the old phone system where we can't send you anything as a group.
Yeah.
It's just you can send us stuff. And if you want to receive messages from us, you have to follow us on Instagram at TextMeBackPod or join the Patreon.
In fact, I will get banned from using the service if I try to batch text you all at once. So I can't do that. But please keep texting us and we will keep texting you back. It's right there in the name. We'll text you back individually.
And if you want an intimate encounter with us, we're in the Discord.
Lindy's obsessed with it. If you've ever wanted to interact with New York Times bestselling author Lindy West, you better get yourself in that Discord. She's in there, man, 24 hours a day. She downloaded the app and everything. But you can't join it unless you subscribe. It's patreon.com/textmebackpod. And we literally cannot make the show without your support. Thanks.
I love doing the podcast.
It's so fun. It's so fun. We have a blast doing it. I'm very sweaty. That's how you know we recorded a good episode. And that's also how you know I have pig DNA, because I'm too hot just from talking. Very classic.
Megan, I want to adopt a rescue pig that was rescued from a lab.
Okay.
It can live in my yard. I have 14 acres of forest. It can roam the forest. It can find truffles. I want to be the person that helps it feel the sun for the first time.
Yeah. What about the
poacher?
The poacher. What about him?
I thought you were going to say the cougar.
Well, her too.
The poacher is so much funnier.
I mean,
well, I have a plan for the cougar. Because did you know that if you get a donkey or a llama, they will defend your livestock from cougars? It's literally true. They will fight a cougar to the death to defend your animals.
So what you really want to do is starting like an animal fighting ring. That's what you said. You want to get various livestock and have them fight a cougar for your entertainment.
No, Megan. Megan, I'm not starting Donkey Fight Club, Megan. No.
Okay. Kind of sounds like you are.
Last summer, I went and I toured this animal rescue because I was like, maybe I'll volunteer there when I'm a idle woman of the woods. Little did I know I was going to have to start a freaking media empire to run this podcast. But they have a llama and an emu that protect the little goats and little sheepies, specifically from the cougar because they're mean as hell. So anyway.
Well, if you subscribe to the podcast at the $50,000 a month level, we can buy Lindy a donkey, a llama and a pig. So something to think about. If you like the podcast, if you like Lindy being happy at the concept of her donkey fight club, subscribe to the Patreon. You can do so at patreon.com/textmepacpod. That's where the money's going. I think we should just be honest about where the money is going, you know?
Let's just be transparent about where the money is going.
It's not going to the software. It's not going to a microphone stand. It's going to Donkey Fight Club. So did that work? Subscribe.
I do want Donkey Fight Club.
I know you do. Don't cry. Don't cry.
Megan, I thought of another way people can give us money.
What is it?
They could give us $1.
They could give us $1.
Yeah. I heard about this idea from my friend Megan. And it's that sometimes a Patreon will have a $1 tier.
Yes.
And it's just for people who want to support. It doesn't come with any of the Patreon rewards. Because to be honest, some people don't want a bunch of emails from Patreon being like, Lindy and Megan posted screen grabs from their text thread.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
Life's expensive, and we don't all have Reese Witherspoon paying half of our ghost rent.
We don't.
But we want to support the art that we love, and so we're going to do this too. We're going to create a $1 tier on the Patreon, $1 a month, and it's purely the tier of love.
You don't get any of the goodies, like Lindy said, but it's just a way for you to say, I love this podcast, and I would like for it to keep existing, and we're calling it, should have thought of a name.
Donkey Fight Club.
Donkey Fight Club. We're calling it the Donkey Fight Club tier. And that dollar that you give us per month will go into Lindy's Donkey Fight Club savings account. And it would make a huge difference. We really do love making the show. We really want to keep making it for as long as possible. We are fully independent and we don't run ads on the show at this moment. So these subscriptions are the way that we keep the show going. We'd love for you to subscribe at whatever tier you're most comfortable subscribing at. Any little bit helps us a great deal. So thank you very much. Go to patreon.com/textmebackpod and subscribe today.
And to everyone who's already subscribed, you're giving us life. You keep us going. We love you so much. And by the way, if you run a small regional theater or a large regional theater or a comedy festival or a funeral home and you would like to book us to come do a live episode in your town,
you got a dusty stage with two rickety chairs on it, we'll be there. Send us a message.
And after the show, you'll have one rickety chair because I will have smushed the other one.
That's the text me back guarantee. That's the Leslie guarantee.
Thank you so much for listening to Text Me Back. If you like the show, please tell your best friend about us. Be sure to rate and review us. It helps people find the show. And most importantly, please support our Patreon so we can keep making this. It's patreon.com/textmebackpod. Text Me Back is a production of Megan and Lindy, proud members of the BFF Network. Our senior producer is Lindy West. Our other senior producer is Megan Hatcher-Mays. Our editor is, you guessed it, Lindy West.
Diana Bowen is our video and creative wizard. Weird. Our production team includes Lindy West, Megan Hatcher-Mays, our loves, our anxieties, and our fears.
Our music and mixing is by Chief Ahamefale J. Oluo.
Special thanks to our perfect angels, Jeannie Yandel, Brandy Fullwood, and Isolde Raftery.
I'm Lindy West.
And I'm Megan Hatcher-Mays. See you next week.
Mwah!